we'll go ahead and let me get everything up here. We'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started for the day. All right. Okay. Father Yahweh, we just bless your name on today, and we thank you for just another opportunity to present ourselves to you. We seek wisdom and understanding, and we thank you for your presence and that you will lead and guide us in all truth. We just bless you for our Savior, and we are indeed looking forward to his soon return. And we thank you in the name of Yahushua, and we do pray. Amen. All righty. What I want to discuss, leading of Yah, is we're going to deal with visions, but the way that he's having me to deal with it, there are a lot of angles that I can take at discussing this topic, but it's, you know, it's just a specific direction that he wants to take us on tonight. And so as you see to the right of the screen here, I have three types of visions. Well, you know, I'm saying three types because these are just the three types that we're going to deal with on tonight, because there are some other things that I can go to or other areas of scripture that I can go to and show other types of visions and things like that. This is just within a subject matter of limitations, knowing that there are other types of visions that are out there per se. The first one that we're going to deal with is false visions, and then we'll deal with visions from a perspective of warning, and then we'll deal with one from a perspective of preventative vision. So, and there is no specific order path which we'll do. We'll just go how the, you know, Spirit of Yah lead us to do so. But I want to start out. I write a lot, and the Spirit of Yah had awakened me this morning, and when he did, he led me to write. And those of you who had opportunity to read things that I write, or even as far as lessons are concerned, although I study on a daily basis, I don't study to prepare for a lesson to teach. I don't study from that perspective. And when you see information like, say, for instance, to the right of the screen, where you see some form of a guideline, it is because there are things that that I've already dealt with, and once I've dealt with it, then he will give me the liberty to use portions of that as a guideline, or I just stick with that portion of that as a guideline. And so this is one of these cases. When I write, I understand how Moses felt, the prophets felt, the apostles felt, because I truly understand what being inspired to write is concerned. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16, we'll just go there. I'll pull up another Bible here. We'll move to 2 Timothy just to kind of give an understanding of it. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and this is a passage that we're all going to use coming up on Sabbath worship this coming Saturday, where we'll discuss, if we get there, where the word inspiration of Yah. So as we see to the left of the screen, I got two Bibles up. 2 Timothy 3:16. Says, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, when we click on the interlinear to get the the definition of these words, because remember, we study every word. And so we want to understand what the inspiration of Yah is. And when you look at it, it says divinely breathed in. So all scripture, so when we read scripture, they are divinely breathed into men who then wrote those things. So it's the inspiration of Yah, or Yah divinely breathing in. It is the same thing, and man, I'm getting into Savage Lesson, but I can't help it because, you know, it's important for you to understand and, you know, how I roll. So it's the same thing in Acts chapter 2, when it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And this rushing mighty wind here, as you see, of a rushing mighty wind. When you look at the wind, it says respiration, breath, wind. So Acts 2 is the same thing as, Acts 2 is the same conceptual meaning for 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, or 16, I'm not going to discuss 17, where it says all scripture is given by inspiration. Inspiration here again, it means divinely breathed in. So when you look at what took place in Acts chapter 2, it was wind, letting us know this was respiration, a breath, wind. It came from Yah. And as you continue to read it, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the wind or the breath of Yah. So when Yah inspires men, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 now, we are to understand that's what it is. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It is the breath of Yah. It's not some third person of a God, of the Godhead. It is the source or the power by which Yah uses to inspire or to create. He said in Genesis 1, when he said that is the breath of Yah, he breathed into the man's nostrils. It ain't that he rests down and breathes in his nose. We understand that as you listen to me, you are hearing the breath of lung. You're in the breath of lung, okay? And so that breath of lung, the words that you hear is inspired by the breath of Yah. Okay? So the things that are coming up out of me is in my spirit or the breath of me. The same way as Yah inspired my spirit, the breath of me, to speak these things, okay? And so that's how we understand it when we look at 2 Timothy 3, 16, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yah. So when I write, it is inspired writing. When I preach, it is inspired preaching. So you know, I just flow as the Spirit of Yah lead me to do so, and the others is, you know, it's sitting here, and as Yah is breathing on me, he's also breathing on him, because, you know, the majority of the time, you know, if not all the time, I'll say all the time pretty much, because that's what he does. He's assisting me with every lesson that I teach. When he's up teaching, I assist him with every lesson he's teaching, because we allow the Spirit of Yah to flow, and that's why each one of you said things. And as you know, people even in conference call and via social media in one form or another, that can communicate. If they do call in, they're welcome to ask questions. And we, you know, this is class. It's always class. All of our sitting is like that. And so as he inspired me to write, it's not planned majority of the time. When I finish writing, then I go back and read what I said to even understand what I wrote, because it was inspired. So I write like in a trance. I'm seeing what I'm writing, but I'm not really comprehending, and I'm not really seeing from a perspective of of a sense realm, but it's, I'm seeing from a perception of what Yah is doing by his spirit. And so so when he got me up to write, I'm just going to give a portion of this because of the subject matter that we're dealing with. As you see here, like I said, I just have some little things here as a guideline. A few days ago, a dear friend told me that Yah, and when I put God there, it's because not all people understand what I mean when I say Yah, because my audience is so large, just these writings go all over the world. And so the audience is so large that when I say Yah, a person may be new to reading things that I write, and may be like, okay, who is Yah? So I always put God for their understanding, but we understand here that that is Yah because we've been saying it so long. Okay, now a few days ago, a dear friend told, and it's found in Psalm 68, by the way. Okay, I think it's Psalm 68. Make sure you check it and make sure. I think it's Psalm 68 and 4. Just check there and make sure. And if it's not, just correct me. Or if it is, just confirm. A few days ago, a dear friend told me that Yah had given her the man of her dreams, her soulmate. And although it wasn't perfect, although he wasn't perfect, indeed he was a perfect man for her. Afterwards, she went on to say that while talking to him one night on the phone, she closed her eyes and saw Yah in a vision. Now, the vision means to gaze at mentally. There are different facets of vision, but I'm just dealing with this particular one here. I've had open visions, and what I mean by open vision is like the same way I see you, I've seen things and been in and environments and things like that. And matter of fact, my daughter was laughing at me. What was that, Monday? Yeah, it was Monday. I was walking out the front door to go work out, and as soon as I opened the door, I went into a vision. And she was standing behind me, and she's like, okay, Daddy, what are you doing? And I turned around, and when she said, okay, Daddy, what are you doing, I didn't know she was standing directly behind me getting ready to shut the door and was going to lock it. And I was just like froze in the door. And she's like, okay, Dad, what are you doing? And I was like, I came out of it when she said it, and I was like, oh, baby, I had left here. And she said, I know it because you just standing there, and you was like gone, you know. And I was saying, I can't control when I do it. Now, this is going to trip you out. I haven't even done it while driving.
Psalm 68.
Four? I think it's Psalm 16:4. I've even done it while driving. It's just that when it happens, Yah's in total control, so I'm completely safe. Matter of fact, it's the time when I'm the most safest driver when I go in trances. And I'm gonna say this, those of you already know it, just within the vein of this conversation, I have transfigured or been in a trance and transfigured from Dallas to Houston in what was it, hour and 15 minutes. I think it was hour and 15 minutes. Yeah. And the reason why it took that long is because I spent about an hour in traffic. I think it was about an hour. No, it was hour and 40 minutes. That's exactly what it was. I drove 40 minutes on. I was on 40 minutes driving, and I went in the trance. When I came out, I was in downtown Austin, and I sit in traffic for an hour. Because I wanted to be a part of a meeting that started at 10 o'clock when I walked through the doors, 10:05. Okay? And so these things actually happen. So that's what I mean by there are different types of visions. Okay? And so you
can...
I just wanted to make sure that's why we call Yah. So that's fine. It's Psalm 68 and 4. It says J-A-H, but actually there's no J in our Hebrew language. So it's Y-A-H-H in reality when you look at it from the Hebrew of Psalm 68, verse 4, okay? So, that is the meaning of vision here. So I get back to the reading here, and I just start all over because I don't know where I left off. A few days ago, a dear friend told me that Yah had given her the man of her dreams, her soulmate. And although he wasn't perfect, indeed he was a perfect man for her. Afterwards, she went on to say that while talking to him one night on the phone, she closed her eyes and saw Yah in a vision, again to gaze to gaze at mentally, standing above it. Then suddenly Yah took him. Then she said, Lon, do you know the meaning of the vision to gaze at mentally? And upon hearing those words, I knew what it meant. I immediately knew what it meant or what it meant. But I did not have the heart, the mind willingly to tell her because Yah had forbidden me to do so. And Elder can attest to this. There are some things that Yah has shown me about him or some things he was going to go through. And, man, I sit there and look at him, and he'd be like, okay, is Yah showing you anything? And I used to sit there and be just heartbroken because I'd be willing to tell him so bad, but I'd be like, hey, getting in trouble. You know, and the reason why is because it is something that Yah is dealing with him on. And Yah is like, you get out of the way. I'll show you because as, you know, I call my son. I'll show you because that's your son. I'll show it to you, and I know you love it, but that's all I'm giving you. You sit your rear over there, and you let me deal with him, and he, because if you get in the way, then he's going to understand it to a certain perspective, but he's going to not understand it in its fullest. And from you telling him ahead of time, it's going to hinder him more than it be a benefit. So every time when I just look at him and be like, Lord, I want to tell him something so bad, but I just can't. And so in this instance, this is what Yah was doing. And so as he revealed the things, I couldn't say anything. There was nothing that I could say, and this is why. Again, Yah had forbidden me to do so. Well, soon afterwards, Yah did take him, but the take him was away from her, and that's what I knew. I understood the dream to mean that. Now, so after getting the news now, I sought Yah to know the reason why, and that's what James 1 and 5 is about. And I'll just go there just so that you know, since it's there, I'll go there just so that you can see it here. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, when you look at the word wisdom, here, it means from a spiritual point of view. You can also click on it to get other facets of that definition. I'm not going to do it. And so when you look at wisdom, it deals with understanding, okay? And you can have wisdom from a worldly point of view, but this wisdom that I'm talking about is the spiritual. It's a mental state whereby Yah enlightens you to understand why something has happened. Okay? You can go to Yah and ask him why. You know, you can ask him why things are the way that they are. And if the heart is right, heart, not the heart that pumps the blood. Anytime you read heart in the scriptures, the majority of the time, it's talking about your mental state, your mental disposition. But with the heart, man, believeth unto righteousness. Well, my heart don't believe anything. My mind does. My heart pumps blood. That's why anytime you deal with the actual heart, scriptures start talking about the inward parts or the reins and things like that. And it's letting you know that's talking about the heart of the man. But when it starts talking about things whereby people say, I meant well, I have a good heart, I just did wrong, I'd be like, no, that don't make sense. Because that, you may have a good heart as far as you don't have to go to the doctor and get medicine or get a heart surgery. But when you start talking about from that perspective, you made a wrong decision, but your heart was right. That don't add up. Because the mental state, out of the abundance of the heart, the mental state, your mouth don't speak. Okay? And so when a person said that, I'd be like, no, what came out is what was in there. You know, so when the heart is from a pure perspective and wanting to sincerely know something from Yah that only Yah knows, when the heart sincerely, the mental state sincerely wants to know something, then Yah will give that information. That's why it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of Yah who give it to all. It has me in there, but me is italicized, so you can take that out. To give it to all liberally. Yeah, I'll just jump in anytime you need to. Liberally, which means bountifully. Okay? I like to say freely. Y'all say, I'll pour you out so much wisdom, you'll be, you know, you'd be dumbfounded behind it. You know, it reminds me of when you said you prayed as a 10-year-old. I believe that you, first time you read about Solomon, what he asked for, that's what you started to seek for. And indeed, Yah has given you your wisdom, you know. And so it says that giveth to all men liberally, or all liberally, and abradeth not. When you look at the word abradeth now, the word abradeth means to defame, to revile, reproach, as in Yah said, I don't hold it back, you know. I'm not going to hold it back. If you ask for it in sincerity, I'll always give it to you. Okay? Now as we go back to the right of the screen and start to look at the continuation of this here, I'll start at soon after Yah did take him away from her. So after getting the news, I sought Yah to know the reason why. Thus he revealed it to me by saying, quote, Yah revealed it to me because I didn't know why. Yah revealed it to me because I saw it. I understood what the vision meant, but I didn't know why Yah was doing it. So I sought Yah for wisdom of why he was doing it. And you have to understand, when you go to Yah and seek wisdom, there has to be humility. Okay? There has to be the humility. And I had, you know, from writing this, I had people who were contacting me and stuff like that. I was like, okay, I have certain things that I need to understand, even from a perspective of humility. And so I'm going to just share some information that I was sharing with people who were asking me different things from looking at the writing. So one individual asked me, they was like, okay, what does humility mean? So when a person asked me that, I try to come down, you know, and the elder really get on me about that because, you know, at a time when I'd be like, okay, this is easy. You ought to get it. He'd be like, no, people don't see stuff like you see it. So you have to come down to people's understanding sometimes instead of saying, it's just simple, you know, that I do that sometimes. And so, you know, I like that he checked me and kicked me and rebuked me and all that when I get out of whack like that. And so I said, okay, in order to give her understanding of humility, let me humble myself. But I was like, so just go read the definition. You know? Y'all said, no, she has to understand it from me. And you need to humble yourself and give her that understanding. So this is what I said. I said, humility is a condition of the mind which causes an individual to see things beyond their point of view. Thus, it brings them to the best case scenario. So in order for me to understand, to get wisdom from Yah, I had to humble myself so he could show me the best case scenario, so to speak, of what I needed to know from the fact of what happened with this man being called away, being taken away. Okay. Then I said, in order for humility to be understood, you have to deal with the antonym of that. So I said, okay, on the other hand, it's the opposite of pride, which is a condition of the mind which causes an individual to only, and I capitalize only, to only see things their way, whether good or bad. There is a mindset that's associated with pride that even when an individual is right, they gloat in that. Okay? There are some people who figure out that they're right, and then they try to beat the heck out of you because they're right. And then there are some people who are wrong, and they still going to only see it their way because that's pride. Pride works both ways. Pride has a mindset that says, I'm right, and I'm going to kill you with my right, or I'm wrong, and I'm still going to see it my way. Okay? And then I said, pride overkills right, and it refuses to bend when it's wrong. But humility takes the low road even when it's right and adjusts to right when it is wrong. So humility has a perspective of saying, okay, even when I'm right, I'm going to have your best interest at heart, and I'm not going to approach it from a way to try to destroy you because I am right. Okay? So it's like a mindset that takes the low road. And then when humility realizes that it's wrong, humility comes under that right. Okay, it comes under that right, and it adjusts to that right when it comes to the realization that it's wrong. Did you have something?
Can you read the definition of humility again?
When I say it here, which one? I'll start at the top. Humility is a condition of the mind which causes an individual to see things beyond their point of view. Okay.
So what I saw earlier was, it's like that mindset is necessary to operate in kingdom. You can't operate kingdom without the humility.
Right.
Because the point of view that's outside of yours is Yah's, right? So from that perspective, anybody, and it's something that you can just see in general, anybody that walks in pride, it makes it pretty much impossible for them to operate kingdom, because those two don't go hand in hand. And so, you know, they can operate scripture, they can operate church service, they can operate a whole lot of things in pride, but the reality is in kingdom, you have to get beyond yourself, and more specifically, out of your mind and into Yah's mind in order for it to work.
Now, to confirm what he just said in according to the scriptures, if you look to the left of the screen here, Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, said Yah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So because Yah is so far, or we are so far away from reaching Yah's mental state, reaching the mind of Yah, then we have to humble ourselves to be informed by him. If any man lack wisdom in the middle of the screen, if any man lack wisdom, if I need or you need wisdom, then we have to now take on a mindset of humility so that we can get something that we can't get any other way. It doesn't happen any other way. Okay? You had something else? Okay. Now, as we deal with this now, and I continue on with the reading here, and I'll start again. So after getting the news, to the right of the screen here, those are in social media. So after getting the news, I sought Yah to know the reason why. Thus he revealed it to me by saying, quote, she made a statement that offended, sinned against me. Now this is a statement now. Okay, a statement. A statement that, and that's what we have to be careful about the things that we say. A lot of times we can say things and it may not appear to be damaging to us, but to Yah it may be a whole different thing. Okay? And I admit I have to be careful about that, man, because, you know, I can get mad sometimes, boy, when I get mad. Y'all got a nut for a pastor, man. If he don't deal with me, I'm the worst if he don't deal with me. He got to deal with me on a daily basis. You know, I told a lady today, there's a lady that I'm helping with, she has a outreach ministry per se that she mentors kids, and I mean she got like five or six different locations, so I'm trying to help her. She has a great concept, but she, you know, it's not much funding she's able to find, so I'm trying to help her. I don't like the word try. I'm helping her, okay? There's only do or not do, and so I'm not trying. I'm helping her. So I was talking to her, and she was laughing, and I was like, hey, I said, I just want to let you know, you can't get a nut out of a peanut. That peanut, don't keep that nut. I don't care what you do. It's going to be a peanut. It's always going to be a nut in a peanut. I said, so I'm the same way. I said, Yah just, in his wisdom, know how to use this peanut. Because it's nut. That nut don't stay there. You know, it is some of the things that you know, there are some things that's in you that's always going to be there because Yah want to use it. It's just that he want to take it and balance it. That's one of the things that I always encourage my girls in reference to. I always encourage them to be strong and to speak up. When they felt that they were right, I always encouraged them. So even if I got on them, if they felt that they were right about something, I gave them the liberty to speak up. I wasn't one of those type of parents that said, okay, my way or no way, and I could be wrong as all get out, but you just don't do it because I said do it. No, I would listen to them reason, and I would encourage them to do that because I knew that I didn't want to I didn't want to destroy what Yah had put in them to have the mindset to stand up for what was righteousness. They need that boldness. And so I just developed what was in them instead of trying to push it down. So I was like, baby, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, say so. Because for you speaking up, I may be able to give you a side that you didn't see. Or from speaking up, you may give me a side that I didn't see. You know? So I always encourage my girls. I do the same thing. You know, I got three grandkids. I'm encouraging, instilling the same thing in them because I want them to be everything that God called them to be. And I don't want to be one of those type of parents that, you know, just shut up and slap them in the mouth. Don't say nothing just because I'm the parent. It'll be wrong as all get out. And I've been wrong at times. And when they was like, well, daddy didn't do, I was like, yeah, baby, you're right. You know, your daddy is not now. So always keep that in mind. So again, he revealed to me by saying she made a statement that offended means sin, that sin against me, therefore I have put her to the test. Yah will test her. Test means to prove. Okay? It means to prove. He said, I put her to the test, and if she fails, then it's because she has chosen failure. And Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says this. Since I have it up here, I'll just read it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Earth to record. Oh, I did say record. You know. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Elder, keep me straight, y'all. I'm country boy, and I'll say some great stuff sometimes. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Notice it says cursing. So that's why I tell people all the time, I don't curse. You understand the scripture, you know what it means. Cursing means to pronounce a sentence. Cuss is an Americanism slang. So I tell people, I say, you can go to the other country. You can go to another country. Did you know that yelling and clapping is offensive doing sports? So they whistle. So if you get on that other country, if they were religious, they say, you're going to hell for clapping. It's just foolishness. So when you look at CUSS, that is an Americanism slang. I don't get caught up. I don't curse, so I tell people all the time, specifically religious folks, I say, you know what? I said, it's amazing how you look down or think that a person is going to hell for cussing, but then you'll turn around and curse somebody, call them a fool all day long. The scripture says if you call a person a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. But yet, Christians call folks fools all the time. So I cuss in front of them. Okay? Now, that's another whole lesson. But anyhow, I just saw that road and I went down it. So that's what it means. So Yah, in verse 19, he recorded this day by saying, there are things that I'll sit before you and give you the choice. So in reference to this, he said, I have put her to the test, and if she fails, then it's because she has chosen failure. I put success and failure in front of her. But if she chooses failure, then that's what she's going to get. If she chooses success, that's what she's going to get. We have to understand that y'all will do us like this at times, okay? Now, then I said, and after that he said that he had a key to the knowledge of why he tested her. So Yah has a key. Remember I said, see the man like wisdom, ask Yah. So I was like, Yah, why did this happen? Yah said, okay, he says because of a statement, then he tells me what the statement is, then he gives me a key and say, here's the key, okay? So I'm going to read again, and after that he said that he had a key to the knowledge of why he tested us. But then he said, but humility was the only thing that would bring her to the door of that knowledge. In other words, the knowledge is there, but humility is the only thing that's going to get her to the door. Okay? Then he gave me the key. He gave me the knowledge. Okay? He gave me the knowledge to open the door when the humility is there to open the door and say, this is why. Okay? Then he gave me the key and said, hold on to it. Okay? And so it's the same thing where Yod, and I'm going to say this, don't allow this to cause you to be afraid or anything like this. A lot of you, Yah has given me keys to doors of knowledge, and there are things that I know that you're being tested on, but I can't tell you. I have to allow you to go through the test. I have to allow you to go through the test, and I have the key, and Yah says, this is why this individual is going through these particular things. But I give you the key of understanding, but you can't open the door to give them that understanding because I'm not through testing yet. They have not put themselves in humility enough for me to bring them to the door so that you can open it. So you can open it up. Elder will tell you, there were times that he'd be like, what's going on? What's going on? I'll be sitting there saying, man, I just can't say nothing, son. I can't say nothing. He'd be like, okay. Because at that particular time, he wasn't in humility enough for y'all to say, let him open the door so that you can have the knowledge. And once he came to the point where y'all had dealt with him enough for it to be revealed, he came out, okay, son, now I can tell you. Click, open the door. He was like, wow, that makes sense. I understand it now. But he would have continued on that road to being tested until he humbled himself. It wasn't that he wasn't a humble person. It's just that in order for him to understand what he was going through at the time, y'all was saying, okay, I need you to get out and just telling his business without telling all of his business. He don't mind because it's for the sake of encouraging you and bringing you into an understanding. And so y'all was like, yeah, he's humble, but right here, nope, he's not right here, though. So he deals with me the same way. There are areas, I remember back in the day, I used to be like, okay, y'all, if you want me to continue preaching, you know, I was struggling behind bills and stuff like that, lost first house to a foreclosure and all this kind of stuff. So I told y'all, I was like, okay, I've got something for you. If I lose this house, you know how we used to it from a religious point of view. Like, you know, if you say, God is supposed to give you candy, cookies, and donuts all the time. That's my version said, bless you. You know, he's supposed to give you the candy, cookies, and donuts all the time. I mean, you saved. You know, the preacher told you that, you know, you giving your tithe, you give your money, so you ought to be the head and not the tail. So all this stuff I'm confessing and losing everything. So I'm like, okay, y'all, I got something for you. Pride now. I got something for you. If I lose this house, I'm going to stop preaching. What you think about that? He said, we go see. Oh, Lord, I'm going to be tested. I knew as soon as I said it, he said, we go see. I was like, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. He tested, and as you can see today, still punching along. He said, I'm going to get that out of you. I'm going to put it in you where no matter what, I'm going to take you through these trials until I get out of you. No matter what, I will stand and do what I've called you to do. Humility. Okay, I had to give you to that point. Go ahead.
Probably stupid.
Hey, well, ask stupid questions. The only stupid question is the questions you already know the answer to. So do you know the answer to it?
No, I'm not. Then
ask. It's not a stupid question.
How much humility should we have?
All of it.
That's a good answer. Now, do you know what he mean when he said that? Do you know what he mean when he said all of it? Because some people saying, like me, remember what I used him as an example? He
what was the question?
Somebody else saying something?
What was the question?
Okay, ask the question again.
How much humility... my thing is, how much humility do you have to go through?
Okay, so I want to stick with that, and then we'll go to your revival. Okay.
Okay.
But he said, how much
the first question was, how much humility should you have?
Yeah.
And I said all of it.
All of it. Now what he meant, I understood what he mean by that. When he said all of it, remember the example that I used? I said he had humility in some areas. But Yah wanted all of it. And that's how we do. We be like, I can humble myself right here, but right here, you got to fight. I was like, yeah, I can humble myself in certain areas, but when you mess with me in that area where I don't like, I'm going to stop doing what I've been called to do. Y'all said, oh, really? I'm getting all of that humility. Now I'll be sitting around saying, oh, Lord, just whatever you want to do. He got all of it. Now, what's your revised question then?
I'm tired. You don't
okay.
How can you never be too What
take
is what I
said? How much humility should we take?
No, I can't remember how I put it.
Did anybody know how she put the revised it?
Because
I sure can't remember.
Thank you.
Okay, so from that point of view, we have to understand that, okay, I think I remember what you said. I think it was within the vein of saying, okay, how much humility do I have to go through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. All of it. You have to go through all the humility. Because if there's any humility left out there that you haven't entered into yet, you need to get there. And God will put a test in your life to get you there.
And it goes back to what I had said earlier, right? So what he said earlier, that pride and humility are the opposite of each other, right? In order to operate in the kingdom, you have to walk in humility. Because, you know, the scripture says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. So when it comes to kingdom, and then even from the perspective of what it talks about in the world, it says all of this in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. It's all these things that hinder us from kingdom. And so from Yah's perspective, for us to be fully mature, that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to know everything that pastor knows. I have to know all of this. That's not the way it works. For any individual to be fully mature is for them to operate in humility in all areas. And when you operate in humility in all areas, that means Yah can use you in all areas. Because any area that you're not operating in humility, it's a hindrance between you and what Yah want to do with you. Because you won't do it because you're not humble in that area.
Now, you said, and I'm going to tell you, Yah quickened me to say something based upon what you said. You said, now, any area that you're not willing to say that part again. You said any area you're not willing to operate in humility. What else did you say to add on to that?
I think I said, Yah can't use you in that area.
Yah can't use you in that. So say it again, any area
where you refuse to operate in humility, God
can't use
that area because something that will be an hindrance.
Because that's what Satan is. That's what y'all spoke to me. As soon as he said that, y'all said, any world where I can't dwell, that's what Satan is. You have another God in your life. Where I can't dwell, there is another God. And I have no other God beside me. So I got to test you to get that out. Because I want all of it. I'm not sharing. Okay? I thought we was going in the vision, but y'all said, boy, I done hijacked this lesson. We thought I might miss it. So we won't get the vision, I thought, but we'll deal with this maybe next week. Proverbs chapter 5, you had anything else, Elder? Okay, Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23 says this now. Proverbs 29 verse 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low. A man's pride. Now we deal with the word pride from arrogance. Pride always has arrogance associated with it. I can be arrogant sometimes. Okay. Especially when y'all is not dealing with me. A man's pride, arrogance, proudly. Look at these definitions. Arrogance, majesty, by implication, concretely, ornament, excellency, haughtiness. The excellency is not from a perspective of kingdom, but it's from a perspective of I am great. So a man's pride, haughtiness shall bring him low. Y'all say, everything that stands before me with haughtiness, y'all say, I guarantee you I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to bring it down. Now, when you look at the word low, it means a base. But when you look at it from from the root of it, it says humble. A man's pride, a man's haughtiness shall be humbled. Yah said, you belong to me, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Yah said, you belong to me and you have pride, Yah said, I will get humbleness out of you. But we all get it. But I got it, and I ain't careful. I continue to get it. And I love when y'all dealing with me, because I don't want him dealing with me on that day. Deal with me all right now, because I can make changes. Don't deal with me on that day, because but I can't make no changes then. It's judgment time then. Deal with me now. Love me enough to deal with me right now. Okay. So Proverbs 29:23 again says, a man's pride, that word pride is arrogance or majesty, highness, haughtiness, pride, swelling. Okay. We puffed up. Okay. A man's pride shall bring him low to humility. But then he says, but honor, when you look at the word honor, that means now we weigh things. Okay? We weigh things. A man's honor shall uphold him. When we operate in humility, when we operate in from a perspective that brings Yah the glory. You have something? Go ahead.
I mean, even when you look at the context of honor, it's just like the humility where you look beyond yourself kind of deal. It's like to weigh something, you have to look outside of yourself, because when you're in pride, you don't weigh nothing. You do whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
Humility forces you to weigh options, weigh choices, and consider other things
right
beyond just you.
Amen. That's a good example. And so it lets us know this, and then as we look at the last definition, we'll go to 1 Peter. I just go to the right of the screen here. 1 Peter 5, 1 Peter 5, we'll look at verse 8. Verse 6, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care. Why he said casting all of your care? Because a person who operates in pride is someone who is full of their own care. Remember, as we look at the definition to the left of the screen, where it says a man's pride, his arrogance, his majesty, his excellency, haughtiness, highness, pride, proudly, swelling. So when you look at that, it shows what the root cause of pride. When you connect 1 Peter 5, verse 6 or 7, there are things that they are full of themselves concerning. It says, casting all your care. Where cast means to throw upon all of it. As from a perspective of humility, I want it all. Like Elder said, all of your care or thoughts of ideals, distractions, solicitude. Cast all of your distractions up on me. Pride is distracted. Solicitude, is it like, let's look it up. I don't want to jump out there. It reminds me of the word, like you solicit, but I want to make sure.
Care or concern for someone or something.
Okay. So it lets us know the root cause of an individual who refuses to humble himself, or a root cause of pride. A root cause of pride is really associated with fear.
It's also to the state of being concerned or and anxious.
Anxious. Fear. Anxiety. So when I operate in pride, or you operate in pride, it should be a gauge to let you know that there is something we're not trusting Yah on. Because if I'm anxious, and now it flows in the vein of Matthew 6 now. Take no thought for your life, anxiety. What shall I eat? Take no thought for these things. So pride is there. Even when you look at the thing that I had wrote about in reference to this lady, pride was there from a perspective of being concerned about losing something that Yah had given. And so when you look at these things, it points out when we operate in pride, then there's something there that lets us know that our trust in Yah is not in place. And Yah, and that's offensive to Yah, because he makes it clear now, if you're going to come to me, you got to at least believe that I am. Hebrews 11. Okay, for without faith it is impossible to please him, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. For he that come to Yah must believe that he is, and a reward of them that diligently seek him. Yah said, if I'm doing something, then pride gets in the way, and now we start to exalt ourselves. We start to come to our own conclusions about things instead of trusting what Yah has done. So now I have my own mental state, which is pride, about how circumstance is, instead of humbling myself and asking Yah for wisdom to come to you. Y'all getting this? Okay. So when we look at Yah, as he says in verse 6, and then we'll close if we don't have anything else. Verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care. This is how we humble ourselves. Casting all our care up on him, for he cares for you. He cares for us. So when we humble ourselves, we say, Yah, we put our complete care, our complete trust, our complete care in you. That's why I tell people all the time, I don't trust you, I trust Yah. Now, I trust each one of you to a certain perspective, but when I say trust, you have to understand what I mean and not take it to mean what you think it means. When I say I trust no one but Yah, what I'm saying is I will not put my life on the line when it comes down to anything but Yah. Because you may have good intentions, but you may not pull off what I need for you to save my life. But I can put my trust in someone who, no matter what, he's going to always show up and he's going to always be able to save. You may have good intentions, but your good intentions may not turn out well. So when it comes down to that kind of trust, there is only one who I put that kind of trust in. That's Yah. So now, when it comes to those things like that, because we put our trust in Yah, then we don't have to allow pride to rise up, because in reality, it's fear operating in us, because we're anxious about something that Yah has control over. Y'all have the control, and so we're anxious about it. And from being anxious about it, y'all is like, I can't deal with you in that area. I got to create circumstances to deal with you. Like the same way he's dealt with me, the same way he's dealt with Elton, the same way he's dealt with you in different areas. Y'all say, I want all of you. I refuse to share any of you. In order for me to have all of you, I have to have humility in all areas. And so that is that's vitally important for us to understand. At this point, I'm not inspired anymore. Anybody got any questions or comments, you know, that may, you know, cause them to have to inspire me again? Other than that, I'm finished. You know, I shut up when I'm through. We good? Okay. All right, and maybe we'll pick up on these three types of visions as we come down that road, if we come down back to that road, you know. Yah sit you up and have you thinking one way just so he can deal with you on something else. All right? And we just have to be humble enough to go in that direction. He probably could have said, no, we're dealing with these visions. Y'all would have been like, I'm leaving the building. I'm not going to participate. But we thank him for his participation. All right, we good? Everybody got it? All right. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today. He's now coming up on I want to encourage each one of you to see, to humbly seek Yah in wisdom to open the door that to give you the key to open the door that's necessary for you to understand why you're going through the things that you're going through. Why am I feeling these specific ways? Why am I feeling these specific ways and things like that? Pride is the reason why. Because Yah said, if you humble yourself, then I'll take that, cast that on me. I care for you. Okay? So if I'm not willing to humble myself in that area, then that's pride. Yah said, I can't work there. Okay. Father, Yah, we just thank you for that, and we just glorify you. In all that we do, just continue to lead and guide us in all truth. Thank you for your wisdom. We just bless you in the name of our Savior. We do pray. Amen. All right.